Good morning. My regret when I look back to my school days is the fact that I didn't pursue languages the way that I could have. I did get a GCSE in Irish, but I dropped out of French, I dropped out of Spanish, dropped out of German. I kicked myself for that. I see broadcasters on international TV who are multilingual, and I just think it's a gift, it's a gift. And we're all worthy of being able to make the most of that gift, but sometimes at school we don't put in the effort. And now it's been suggested that the exams are much too difficult when it comes to languages, and more youngsters are dropping out, and fewer schools are giving the opportunity to pupils to study a wide range of languages. Let me speak to Professor Janice Carruthers from Queen's University. Professor Carruthers, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning.
You could probably speak to me in a number of languages and I would be sounding even more daft than I normally sound on the radio. But it is a regret a lot of people have, isn't it?
It is indeed. It is indeed, because languages open doors for young people. And quite often employers will tell us that having language skills makes a great difference to your employability, whatever field you're in.
You also feel very ignorant when you simply go abroad and you're demanding that everyone speaks English around you. It's a cockiness about us where we expect people to speak English. And more often now, the natives, the locals, they don't bother. They challenge us to speak their language.
They do. And sometimes I think we delude ourselves that the world speaks English, but actually only 5% of the world's population has English as a first language. So, you know, it's much, much lower percentage than people would often think. So, yes, it's always, always much better to be able to communicate in the language of the country that you're in.
Now, the Northern Ireland Exams Board, the CCEA, is to investigate whether GCSE and A-level languages are marked too severely. That certainly doesn't help encourage a child's involvement in language if they get a sense that those who can speak it are almost draconian in their views when it comes to listening to it or reading the written word.
Well, that's right. I mean, this question of what we would call severe grading has been an issue now in the languages community for a number of years. There's a very strong sense coming forward from teachers and from others in the sector that the grading in languages is very severe. And what has happened is that across the water, the regulator, the exams regulator, Ofqual, has conducted a very major review, which reported yesterday. And they have decided in England to make an adjustment at GCSE for both French and German. So they're going to make an adjustment to allow for this question of severe grading. So what has happened now is that CCEA have been discussing this for some time with the Department of Education here in Northern Ireland, and they too are now going to carry out a review. And in Northern Ireland, the review will be both GCSE and A-level.
Do you need to in order to master a language, do you need to at some point live in the country from which that language originates?
Well, it's always much easier to get to a higher level of fluency if you live in the country, and that's why at Queen's we would send all our students for placements, you know, whether those placements are abroad or for our Irish students, placements in the Gaeltacht. It's always much better to spend time in the country. But, you know, not every student of GCSE, French or Spanish or German or Irish, gets an opportunity to spend time abroad. And we have to ensure that the exams are accessible and pupils can get the grades they deserve, you know, by working hard and by enjoying their languages, and that they're not put off by it being difficult to get good grades.
Sadly, language can sometimes become a political issue. You mentioned Irish. It's a political issue here at this moment in time. I think there's an onus on everyone on the island of Ireland to do what they can to ensure that Irish flourishes as a language as opposed to diminishes as a language. Having said that, do you sometimes worry about a person who's only studying Irish and not studying French or Spanish or German or Mandarin or any of the languages which have a global appeal? A person studying a minority language, are they not restricting themselves?
So I would have no concerns at all about somebody just learning a minority language, as you say. So, for example, pupils here studying Irish, they will get all the benefits that come, and that there are huge cognitive benefits to studying a language. They will get all the cultural benefits. They will get really very similar benefits to those who are studying foreign languages. For me, languages are languages. We're all part of the same languages community. Learning a language, whether it's a minoritized language or a major global language, will bring the same types of benefits. So I would encourage pupils, it really is a question of their own preferences, whether they want to study Irish or a foreign language, or, of course, as many of our students at Queen's do, both.
Do you need to have a musical ear to master it? I'm tongue deaf, and I think that's why I dropped out of Spanish and German and French. It's again, I come back to what I said to you at the beginning. I regret it so much, but I can't play an instrument. I can't sing a song. Does one go hand in hand with the other?
Well, a musical ear helps because you can hear things like changes in pitch. You can hear, you know, intonation patterns. You can hear rhythms. You understand stress. However, we are all speakers of English. We have all learned English, and we have therefore all understood how stress patterns and how intonation patterns and how pitch changes work in our own languages. So we actually do have those skills already and should be able to apply them to another language. So it shouldn't be a bar if you don't have those skills. But yes, sure, it helps if you do.
Yeah, I've got to know a young woman through work who's from Bulgaria, and she's got a young child. And she's telling me that the child's obviously growing up with a very Belfast accent, speaking English. But she's doing her best to include her native tongue in the house while the child grows. That's a massive benefit if you can speak both languages to a child. That helps as opposed to hinder, doesn't it?
It absolutely helps. And sometimes people think that, you know, if there's more than one language going in, that can cause confusion for children. And that's absolutely not the case. All the research shows us very clearly that there's actually no limit to the number of languages that you can learn. And that, in fact, languages are a fantastic workout for your brain. They bring absolutely huge cognitive benefits. So, yes, if a young child is getting two or more languages from birth, that can only be to the good.
Is it ever too late to start?
No, it's not. And actually, you might be surprised to know that although we have issues sometimes recruiting pupils in schools, in fact, evening classes and, you know, extramural language classes are actually doing very well and are thriving in terms of numbers. And actually, there's been quite a bit of research recently on one of the projects that I'm involved in to show that they have benefits in postponing early onset dementia, even for those who take up the language at quite a late age. So it is definitely never too late to start.
Yeah, and I'm always impressed by friends or any family member when you're on holiday with them. My daughter did Spanish as an A-level and stuff, and she worked in Spain for a year. And when you would go with her on holiday and she's casually talking to people in their language, you just feel, yeah, I feel impressed, not by my daughter, but by anyone who can do it. And also envious. It's and my advice to any young person is don't get to my age and have the envy that I have for bilingual or multilingual people.
No, that's right. And you have a whole different level of communication with people when you travel. If you can speak their language rather than waiting for them to speak English, it's a whole other level of communication and enjoyment of travel and career opportunities that, you know, are open to you if you do have another language. So I agree with you. Encourage all young people to keep it up at school, keep it up at GCSE, keep it up at A-level, and even come on to study languages with us at university.
And is there still a demand? I would imagine at university, if I was advising a young person, study something alongside language. Is there a future just in languages, or do you need to be studying French with law?
Well, you can do both. What employers will tell us is that they are very happy if they have a graduate in languages to train them professionally in whatever sector they go into. So they are more than happy for the graduate to be a graduate in either one or very often two languages. And then they'll get their training in business or law or marketing or personnel or whatever it is in the job. So you can do it that way, or you can do your degree in law with a language or international business with a language. Employers will tell us that both are equally good in terms of employment possibilities.
Professor, you've inspired me. I might go back to night classes.
Great. Excellent.
Thank you, Janice.
That's great. No problem, Frank. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank Professor Janice Carruthers there, whose first language is English. Her equal first language is French, and she's multilingual, and she is at Queen's University. 02890 333 105 077 66 105 105.